And it's good to be gathered with you here today. Got to get my eyes on here, so you don't have to translate that. Yeah. Our main text today is from Hosea, which is in the Old Testament, and likely, and lately, I have felt more like spending more time and teaching more in the Old Testament. In speaking with Pastor Gary, he has mentioned how he has tried to alternate regularly between the Old Testament and the New Testament, which is to say, you've been getting a good balanced diet of Scripture for the last 20 years. Let's read our text for today, Hosea 14, 1 through 9, and then we'll pray together. Hosea 14, 1 through 9. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. The Lord says, then I will heal you for your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send out roots deep into the soil like the cedars of Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedars of Lebanon. My people will again live under my shade. They will flourish like grain and blossoms like grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. O Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Blessed be the name and the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we have so many distractions in life. Even as we come here today, we have to open our hearts and our ears and our minds to you to speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you give us this privilege of coming together. We thank you that you've given us your word to reveal your heart to us. Now, pray that we will hear the word, open our hearts, and listen, and be changed even today. We give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been going through and teaching on the entire book of Isaiah. It's been quite interesting to see the timeline for the past, the present, and the future of Israel, more importantly for those of us that call ourselves God's people. It's been challenging but rewarding to see how spiritual Israel is so spread out time-wise in the Old Testament, but continues into the New Testament with all nations and people taken into God's people. Even though our verses today may seem to apply only to God's people Israel, Hosea speaks for times past, present, and future. The constant theme throughout the Bible is that fallen mankind can only be reconciled in relationship with God by placing all their faith in Him and Him alone. When we do that by placing all of our faith in Jesus as our Redeemer, there is new life and a changed heart given to us. What that looked like in Hosea's day and now is pictured in these verses of Hosea. I'd like to first mention the context of the entire book of Hosea. The book of Hosea details his prophetic messages, which often focused on God's love for Israel despite their unfaithfulness and idolatry. The unfailing love of God for His people is dramatically illustrated by God having Hosea marry a prostitute who is unfaithful over and over again, and yet He remains faithful to her and calls her to return. We see this in Hosea 2, 19 and 20. Hosea 2, 19 and 20. I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. As a subnote, this story is in a movie of modern times called Redeeming Love. If you get a chance to see that, watch the movie. But the people of Israel in Hosea's time still would not turn to God, and so much of the book is about terrible judgment that comes on them until we get to this final chapter 14, which is a piece of prophetic poetry in the Old Testament. Now, this caused one famous pastor to say this about this chapter. This is a wonderful chapter to be in such a book. I had never expected for such a prickly shrub to gather so fair a flower, so sweet a fruit, but so it is that it shows where sin abounded, grace doth abound much more. So no chapter in the Bible can be richer in mercy than this last chapter of Hosea. So I want your ears and your eyes to be turned to the beauty of this chapter without totally dismissing the majority of the content of the book, which is judgment. The key concept of Hosea 14 is about repentance, which is simply to turn to God, whether that's a turn or a return, either way that you look at it. I would go as far as to even say we must keep turning to God as the world keeps trying to direct us away from Him. A side note, thank you for playing my favorite song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And the other addition I hadn't heard before, but that was good too. This is why the title of today's message, I didn't simply use the word return. In this way, I'm stating that the biblical perspective throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament has been to turn away from false gods, including yourself, and turn to and put all your faith and trust in the one true God of the Trinity. I'm also going to ask you to bear with me that when Hosea is speaking of Israel, he's also speaking of you and other Christians, since the church has been grafted in to the redeemed of Israel, as we see in Romans 11:24. Romans 11:24. You, by nature, were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. I want to break this chapter of Hosea into five sections to hear what God is saying to his people Israel at this time, and perhaps to all his people for all times. As my title seems to indicate, I consider this a loving plea to turn to him, to turn to God. As I read through this chapter of Hosea, I could also hear the voice of the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians, who had gotten off track of the gospel. He had been teaching them on several occasions. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christian ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. These first three verses have God speaking through Hosea to tell his people, turn to me and let me tell you how to do that. In their case, at this time, he was speaking to the remnant of Israel. This is not the whole nation. This is the remnant, and he never had abandoned them. Yes, God had taken his people through some very hard times for their sin, but he had always been with them to tell them how to be lifted out of those times. God tells his people how they have sinned and how they should confess and repent of their sin. God has always spoken through his lawgiver Moses, his prophets, and his New Testament apostles that all must turn to him first with a repentant heart that calls out to him and him alone to save them not only from their enemies, but more importantly, from the work of their own hands to be righteous. He was telling them he didn't want his people to put any confidence in any creature or in any creature's performance. They should never expect salvation in any other way but by the free grace of God, his abundant mercy shown at just the right time through his Messiah, Jesus Christ.
And
Repentance is such an important thing, whether it's about my original salvation or about many years walking with the Lord in my life. I can, and really I should, almost every day look at this idea. Is the direction that I'm heading my way only, or do I need to do a 180-degree turn hand to the Lord? But for the people of Israel at this time, their sin was very obvious. They had served idols, they had given in to idolatry, superstition, and will worship. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. In other words, throughout the beginning of time, and yes, even up to today, man has tried to make God into the image he wants him to be. No. Then, and for us now, we must turn to God humbly, and we recognize our sin and our dependence on the grace of God. Now, I know some Christians say, I don't need to do that because I'm already forgiven, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about taking it away from our conscience of a sensible repentant sinner or a backslider. Now, that backslider is kind of an everyday term that's used here. Can I add something about backslider? Think of it as walking up toward God, and all of a sudden I start sliding back down. I need his help to move forward. This is not about living in shame, but rather, as verse 2 says, that we may offer our praises in the times of the Messiah, in which the Jews themselves say all sacrifices will cease, but the sacrifice of praise that we see in Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. In these next two verses of chapter 14, 4 and 5, God is telling his people when they repent, what he will do and what it will be like for them. This is where it starts to get really good. In verses 4 and 5, we see that when we turn to God, he saves us. He brings about a healing sanctification that provides all we need for new growth, like a fresh flower or a mighty growing tree. God is so loving that he shows us how to turn or return to him, and then he tells us what he will do after this repentance. He tells all the spiritual Israel he will not only heal us, he will be as the dew unto us. I will heal their backsliding. Now, the New Living, which I'm teaching from, uses the word faithlessness, but the King James Version uses backsliding. This healing term seems to show God looks on our backsliding more like a disease than a crime. He does not say, I will pardon their backsliding. Israel then, and even spiritual Israel, which includes us today, can be greatly misled by teachers and influences. For most of my adult life, I've had a really soft spot in my heart for young people that are so often being misled away from the Lord. I know of believers, even young believers, that are struggling with their faith, even to doubt their salvation. This one pastor that I quoted earlier said, God is saying to them, I will not treat them as though they were rebels. I will look upon them as patients, and they shall look upon me as a physician. Jesus, who is the great physician, tells us we are restored when we turn back to him. We see here beautiful pictures of poetic similes of plants and trees. Standing next to a horticulturist, the valley has a weak root. The lily has a weak root and is easily uprooted, to which the saints are sometimes compared in Matthew 6, 28 through 30. Matthew 6, 28 through 30. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? We also see here the permanency and the final perseverance of those who are rooted in the love of God. The people of God are secure, can never be rooted out, as spoken of in Psalm 92:12. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. So from these two verses, we can see that what is given or restored when we turn to the Lord, growth, beauty, and strength, is restored when we repent. In this third section of chapter 14, 6 and 7, I hope we can see as our relationship with the Lord grows stronger, we are meant to have his fragrance and comforting presence to others. This was true for Israel in the Old Testament as well as Christians in all times. In these verses, God gives the remnant of Israel and us powerful reasons to turn to him. He tells them what it will be to them and what blessings of grace he will bestow on them and in what flourishing and fruitful circumstances they should be. So the trees of Lebanon, even though they had strong roots and spreading branches, were not fruitful. And lacking in that simile is supplied by this of the olive tree, which speaks of his fragrance to all the nations. God's beauty also shall be as the olive tree being always green. Though God is saying this about his people, their beauty and fragrance is to be representative of God. We see this indicated again in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 through 16. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? So in addition to growth, beauty, and strength being restored, value and delight are also being restored as represented as an olive tree and delight as the fragrance like cedar trees.
When we
Even abundance is mentioned, like the wine of Lebanon. Their wines were the best of wines and were better than all the others for scent, taste, and medicine. The word we're receiving here is as God branches will spread. When God restores Israel, his people will be a blessing to others, not blessing only unto themselves. This is why they were chosen in the first place, to bless all the other nations. Let me just end this section where I have used the term restored several times. The word restoration is so important in all of creation, as that has been his plan before the beginning of time, to restore all his creation to a right relationship with him. That's what it means when you placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. You are now right with God. I believe that's a central meaning of righteousness. It is first and foremost a term of relationship with our God and Creator. So let's go a couple more steps in this amazing chapter of Hosea and look at verse 8 first. Verse 14:8, as God's people were cautioned not to forget or take for granted where they came from as he called them out of sin into new life. God reminds the remnant of Israel how foolish it would be if they don't repent.
14章的8节，作为神的子民，我们被告诫，不要忘记我们来自何处，也不要将其视为理所当然。
When we turn to the Lord, not only will he accept us, he will bless us and make us a blessing to others as only he can. So the people of Israel as a nation then, now and even in the future, in times, are to turn to the Lord, not by keeping the law, but only under the influence of his grace. This is found in common in all truly repenting and converted sinners, as we see in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I think I put 10 in there also. God saved us by his grace when you believed, and you can't take any credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. We must be reminded, as Israel was from God through Hosea, our idolatry can be the works of our own hands, either in our worldly accomplishments or great deeds done in this life. Now it switches from Israel to Jesus, who may be compared to such a tree, as he is in many others in Scripture, because he is his Father and to all believers, chosen and precious, lovely and beloved, a tall tree. Some commentators and other translations say this is not the olive tree or a cedar, but a juniper or a cypress tree. I, by my word, will make him as the beautiful fir tree. Here God reminds his people, all fruit comes from him through Jesus, his Messiah. From Christ are all the spiritual blessings of grace, peace, pardon, righteousness, adoption, a right, and the gift of eternal life, such as seen Philippians 1:11. Philippians 1:11. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. God tells Israel, your fruit is found in me. At one time, Israel thought they might find fruit in themselves or in the idols of the nations. Now, healed of their backsliding, they find their fruit only in God. We finish this chapter on a very important note for Hosea's time and ours today, found in verse 9. In verse 9, it tells us, all mankind, you are meant to walk in the guidance of the Holy Spirit with the wisdom He provides and the discernment of how to live a righteous life in Christ. Essentially, God reminds us again and again what wise people do. Turning to the Lord has always been right and wise. Jim Elliot was a missionary in the 1950s to killing tribes of people in South America that said, and he said this, he is no fool who trades what he cannot keep for what he cannot lose. So how did that turn out for him? He was killed by those people along with four others. But his wife and others picked up the ministry to the same people, and many, many of them turned to the Lord. Yet in Hosea's day, in Jesus' New Testament days, and even now, Christ himself, so his ways and his word, his doctrines and his ordinance are stumbling blocks to wicked men and women, in which they stumble and fall and perish. So true wisdom always turns us back to God. The wise man sees the message throughout the Bible. He will understand that it is his mercy. God offers a wonderful opportunity for repentance and restoration, and is dangerous and foolish to neglect that invitation. It's absolutely true that this message was first given to the direct children of Abraham, but we also know through God's word it was always intended for all the nations of the world. Israel as a nation, as we are like today, were never chosen for our worthiness, but always to show the love and amazing grace of our Creator God. This was reinforced by Paul as he spoke of Jesus in his gospel in Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God working in our lives, saving everyone who believes, first the Jew and also the Gentile. And I had a note. Many, many, many Jewish people are coming to Christ today. Many Messianic Jews are accepting Christ as their Messiah and Savior. I like the way one person summarized this 14th chapter of Hosea. In beauty of expression, these final words of Hosea rank with the memorial chapters of the Old Testament. Like the rainbow after a storm, they promise Israel's final restoration. He continued to say, here is the full flowering of God's unfailing love for His faithless people, the triumph of His grace, the assurance of His healing, as described in imagery that reveals the loving heart of God. So I want to conclude the message today with two key applications for us to take away with us. Application one, all of mankind is called to love God and live according to his purpose, which is meant to glorify him and his incredible love for his creation. Application two, as we confess our sin initially and ongoing here on earth, we are able to enjoy his amazing grace and peace that will last for eternity. Salvation and the life after that is and has always been only by the free grace of God and his mercy in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes we may have to have our memory jogged, or we may be called to attention that our life is not always as it should be following you. We sometimes get off the path. We sometimes stray a bit. And all your loving heart says to us is turn around, turn toward me, God says. And all your sins are forgiven, but you also will have the peace of that understanding of your relationship with God. So I just pray that for all of us, that as we go from here or through the week, as we're working, we're listening to the news, many things in the world that could be troubling, we always turn to God for that peace and for knowing that he loves us. He wants to heal us of any of the infirmities that we have, both physically and spiritually. And he wants us to just be at peace with him in his loving arms. We give you thanks for this part of his word that teaches that through the ages. And we pray that as Israel was called to do, we don't fail to tell that to others and share that with others, the love of Christ in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.